Good morning to you all on this third Sunday of Epiphany. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you. The collect for the third Sunday of Epiphany. God of all mercy, your Son proclaimed good news to the poor, release to the captives, and freedom to the oppressed. Anoint us with your Holy Spirit and set all your people free to praise you in Christ our Lord. Amen. Hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Luke. Jesus, filled with the power of the Spirit, returned to Galilee, and a report about him spread through all the surrounding country. He began to teach in their synagogues and was praised by everyone. When he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, he went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day, as was his custom. He stood up to read, and the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was given to him. He unrolled the scroll and found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and a recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." And he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. The eyes of all the synagogue were fixed on him. Then he began to say to them, "Today, this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." This is the gospel of the Lord. There's always talk in sport circles of a hometown advantage. If you're playing rugby, cricket, football, or any other sport, I guess, if you're at your home ground, there's thought to be some kind of advantage in that you are not travelling to another place, you know the layout, your fans are there, and it's home. Doesn't always work that way, and teams are still beaten on their home ground, but there's thought to be an advantage if you're playing at home. And while that works for sports teams, sometimes, I'm not sure that it always works like that for individuals who go back to the place that they grew up in terms of just being back where they grew up, and sometimes in the church context. And always that depends on lots of things, who you are, your role, lots and lots of different factors. After I moved away from Bournemouth, where my family still live, I used to return and go back to the church that I was once part of. But I found it was never really the same. I'd moved on from them, and I wasn't the same person that had left. And for me, going back to my home church didn't really work. I'm sure for some of you, you've had the opposite experience to me. And each one of us will have our own story of returning to where we grew up and that experience of going back. In July, I've been invited back to my Curacy Church as they celebrate 25 years of being in the building that they have. I was offered the chance to preach, but I've declined that because actually I've moved on. I'm a different person from who I was in my Curacy. And I was slightly unsure as to whether to go back as well. In our gospel reading today, Jesus is at his hometown in Nazareth. The people in the synagogue would know him, or at least, if not him, they would know his family. Those awkward teenage years, as you enter into adulthood, would have been played out with the people there in the synagogue. They would have seen him grow from a boy into a young man. In verse 22, which we don't have as part of our reading today, those gathered are amazed at what Jesus says. And they say to themselves, "Is this not Joseph's son?" Joseph's son. Not God's son. Is he not Joseph's son? Because we have that beauty of knowing the story. Whereas those in the synagogue that day didn't. And so the chapter continues that they then become angry with what he was saying. And so Jesus has to move very quickly to another place. The synagogue was a gathering place for those who wanted to hear the Torah and the prophets and those texts read out loud, and then be taught on those texts. And that's what happened when Jesus stood up and he read from the prophet Isaiah. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favour. At which point, Jesus sits back down and tells those waiting that today it has been fulfilled. Fulfilled through Jesus, Joseph's son. And we have to remember that those gathered did not know his true identity. And this is known as Jesus' manifesto, or the Nazareth manifesto. For Luke, this is that moment when Jesus announces himself into the spotlight of the Jewish people, that he has been sent by God. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He has anointed me. And if we think back a few weeks, we think back to Jesus being baptized in the River Jordan, where the Spirit of God came up upon him and the voice saying, "This is my son." That part literally happened when he was baptized. The Spirit of the Lord anointed him. And then we have what Jesus will do in the coming years of his public ministry, with the focus on helping those around him. But more than that, showing a different way to live and serve God, both physically and spiritually. That time of waiting is over. The waiting for a saviour, a messiah, the time was now here. And what Jesus is saying is, "I'm that one." In John chapter 1, verse 14, it says, "The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us." And to me, this is Luke's version of that. Jesus reading that scripture and sitting back down and basically saying, "That's me. I'm the Lord's anointed one." And he's saying that he is the one who will bring good news to the poor, set the captives free, and give sight to the blind. But not in the way that people imagine that the Saviour would do. Not in a way that would overthrow the rule of the day, but one who will speak to those in power, will question what they believe to say and say is true, and their treatment of others, including those on the sidelines of society and those who are overlooked. Does that remind you of anything in the news this week? The Right Reverend Marianne Buddy's homily from Tuesday's National Prayer Service at Washington National Cathedral to the newly sworn in President Trump and Vice President Vance did just that. Spoke to those in power about those in society who are overlooked and on the sidelines. She spoke up for those who have no voice. And at the end, she asked President Trump to have mercy on those who are scared, those who are concerned for what the future might hold for them. She spoke to what she sees happening around her, to have mercy on those who don't fit with President Trump's view of what it is to be American. And the Right Reverend Buddy spoke into the present day situation, not for the glory of it, not for all of the press coverage that has entailed because of what she said, but to speak to the heart of those in power about having mercy, to speak God's manifesto into the world. In the synagogue that day, Jesus took that moment in time to tell those listening that he was the one, the Saviour, the Messiah, and his time was now. The Right Reverend Buddy spoke into the moment that she found herself in Washington this week, to speak of mercy and love. So I wonder this week, is there going to be a moment for you where it's your time to speak up about God's love and his mercy in our world? Amen. We say together the Lord's Prayer. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. May God give us light to guide us, courage to support us, and love to unite us, now and evermore. And may the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with you and with all those whom you love, now and always. Amen. Go into the world to walk in God's light, to rejoice in God's love, and to reflect God's glory. In the name of Christ. Amen.